Hello, my name is Rob Seltzer, and welcome to Exiled Eagles. Much like Palace's last win, we haven't done this in a while. So, joining me today is Dale Courty in very wet and windy Sydney. How are you, Dale?
Good. Thank you very much. You?
Yes, not too bad. In my kayak as well. I'm in my kayak too up here.
Snorkels.
That's it. In freezing cold Queensland, Mark Werner actually is wearing a t-shirt today. So, Christ, you must be cold. How are you, Mikey Mark?
Game Rob, even gentlemen. Yeah, much the same as Dale. Weather down there, it's the same up here, mate. Quite damp and blustery, hence me having to put on a t-shirt, which is quite unseasonable.
And currently watching two games of the worst league on planet Earth. Ned Rock, how are you, Ned?
I'm quite warm. I think it's about 30 degrees down here still at 8:30 at night. It's maybe just a little bit less, but you know, it's... I'm good, mate. How are you? Been a while. Yeah,
it has been a while. And I mean, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Probably a good thing for our listenership because they haven't had to put up with our drivel for quite some time. But we're going to...
Well, we'll make up for that.
We're going to write that wrong. So, look, normally we talk about the last, like, normally four games. But because we've literally missed half a season since the last pod, there's no point. So, we're going to talk about kind of... Let's look forward a little bit. Obviously, the results... Performances have... been quite good at Cairns. Results haven't been. We haven't won since Norwich at home. We're on 3-0, which I very much doubt we podded about anyway. So only 5 wins this season and starting to see the R word thrown around a bit on social media. So I'll go to you, Dale. Are you anxious at all about relegation?
I think I said it on the WhatsApp January. I think I said about February being really important. It's a tough one, right? Because, yes, there are teams down there who have looked shit all year, and you like to think they'll continue to be shit. But Newcastle are going to stay up. It's a case of where they are going to finish. All things being equal, Everton are going to stay up. It's about where they finish. And then I think it becomes one of the rest. I saw something the other day, it said we had a 5% chance of getting relegated. I'm happy with 5%. You just worry that, let me start that again. We play some really nice football. We do really well. Everyone's really happy because Lukaku only got 7 touches of the ball, but what do we have to show for it? Nothing. So, you want to just start seeing some results. You want to see us hang on to the wins, hang on to the draws. You want to see that happen and just give us a bit of security just to make the last third of the season a little less seat of your pants type stuff.
Okay. What about you, Ned?
Yeah, I think when you start looking at the points tallies, I think we are sort of starting to think about that sort of stuff. I think the bit that's a little bit concerning for me, I think we'll be okay. I think there's enough teams below us that are just not quite good enough to pick up that many points. I think that, you know, we've the 40 point thing has not been the target for a very long time. So I mean, realistically, if we get, you know, 3 more wins for the rest of the season or that equivalent points, I mean, you want more than that, obviously, but that's probably going to be enough to keep you up. So I think my only sort of concern is, I think with the players that we've got now, we've brought in all these players that can play really nice football, and we've replaced all of the old heads that would just, you know, get stuck in and lump it. But I just sort of, it concerns me a little bit in terms of if you end up in a relegation battle, be it this year or next year, do we have those players that are capable of getting stuck into the fight now, if it does become like that? I think you got to look at the number of points this year that we've sort of just coughed up in the last few minutes, and you got to go, well, perhaps actually we don't necessarily have that within the group at the moment. So if we do start getting dragged right into it, I think there'll be a lot of players in that squad who need to grow up real fast, who, you know, aren't quite used to that. You know, be it, you know, they've been playing in the, you know, those players have been playing in the Championship, being better players, or even, you know, like the likes of your Mark Gahey's who've come across, you know, I know he hasn't been at Chelsea for a while, but that sort of habit where relegation's not really a thing that you're looking at. You're looking at the other end of the table. So I think it'd be interesting to see if we did get dragged into that fight. I'm hoping it's not something that we find out. But yeah, I'm a little bit nervous about the character of the players that we've got at the moment and whether we've got that fight in us if we got dragged into it, which I don't think we will.
One thing you just said there, Ned, sorry to interrupt, is that if we got three more wins, yeah, you want more, but it'll be nice.
Yeah.
It's funny, isn't it? Because if you said to us at the start of the season, you would have 8 wins, 11 draws, 11 draws, and the rest defeats, you'd probably go, I'll take that. You know, you probably would have gone, I'm happy with that. But now when you're talking about it in terms of you need that to probably just guarantee your safety, you then go, oh, want a bit more than that. And yeah, it's just interesting how we look at it.
Well, I think it's a case of because of how well we started and, you know, the football that we've been playing, I think that's sort of has pushed everyone's expectations because, you know, we go out and we match it. You know, we play a game like the Man City game and we play them off the park. We play a game, you know, even you know, the Chelsea game on the weekend who are, you know, coming back as world champions and they've just snuck it in the 89th minute. And realistically, would you say you could make an argument that we were the better side for a lot of that game. So I think people are looking at that and going, well, how is this side that can do that in a relegation battle? So I think that's where we're sort of setting those standards, whereas realistically we do kind of turn around and go, well, we're Crystal Palace. This is where we have finished every year for the last however many we've been in the Premier League. We're going through a rebuild at the moment. To expect to finish above that in year one of a rebuild is probably unrealistic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's where, you know, we are where we are for a reason. But I think, yeah, I think we should be okay. But yeah, it's definitely interesting times. 2 wins over in the next 2 games would certainly make things a lot happier.
Mm. But
yep. Not something that was discussed earlier in the season, and most pundits have left us alone the last season or two, you know, our first at least 4 or 5 seasons back up in the Prem, relegation, always Palace, top of mind, mentioned on many and varied pods. We're left alone this season again, but around the edges, a couple of people going, oh, you know, what about Palace? I go, oh, yeah, no, I think they're probably safe. No one's saying that we are going to go down or even get the scrap, but it's starting to get a mention, and rightly so, given the results or, you know, lack of them, i.e. wins, nutting out some draws. And, you know, Ned or Darwin said, you know, 3 more wins in the last third of the season. We've only managed 5 in the first 2/3. So, you know, maths-wise, we've got to ramp it up a bit. And, yeah, it's like you wouldn't expect us and the cattle we've got in the way we're playing to end up in that relegation scrap. But, yeah, it's gaining momentum, the chat of it at least. And, you know, this is a massive week. Couple of big, you know, 6-pointers, if you want to call them that. So, yeah, it'd be nice to start converting these playing well, leading for a lot of the game into 3 points and certainly put a lot of it to bed. I'm sure it'll come, but, yeah, it's just funny how the season's playing out with points-wise. Also, I heard recently, I think we were 5 points worse off than we were for Roy this time last season. No mention. No one's up in arms. No one's, oh, my God, Vieira out, blah, blah. Oh, it's great. We're playing fantastic football. For a game that's based on results, and that is points you've accumulated throughout the season, to be 5 in arrears from last season, I find that very funny as well, isn't it? You know, we get the new toy, and all of a sudden we've forgotten about other things. So, anyway, it is the circus and the roller coaster that is Palace. So I'm sure we'll be fine, but it's certainly something to take into consideration and talk about.
No, sure. I mean, I'll deal with that last point first. I mean, yes, the proof is in the pudding. We're 5 points worse off the same point this same time last year under Roy. But what Roy was doing wasn't sustainable. It was, you know, we've had such a big overhaul that, you know, if we started the season with Roy, no one would have said we'll be 20th. We started with Vieira with a whole new squad and everyone's, all the pundits are like, well, Palace are going to finish 20th, bottom of the league, rock bottom, done. 6 points. 6 points, okay. 6 points.
Yeah, 6 points. I just checked.
Okay, so 6 points works off. But people can see the working process that we are. With like, there was no working process, work in progress with Roy. It was like, this is how it's going to be. And as I said, that wasn't going to be sustainable eventually. And we mentioned it on the pod that eventually it would have been Sunderland. And we were going around the plug, and we'd have gone down. So I'm very happy with where we are right now. Like, I'm looking forward to watching games, and you don't know who we're going to pick. We're tweaking things in game, we're tweaking tactics. Now, am I worried about relegation? No. Is it? Do I understand why people are talking about it? Absolutely. But I think there's just enough teams between us and that drop zone that we'll be okay. I mean, they've all got to pick up, and they've all got to pick up a lot more points than we do. I don't see Burnley picking up that many points more than us. They've got 1,000 games to play. They haven't got a particularly big squad. Injuries will stuff them. And they're playing two a week, every week. Teams are playing one a week and they're fresh, and the Burnley squad's tired. They'll lose those games. Norwich.
I just say on Burnley, three games in hand on us, as an example, they get two wins and they turn us over. It's done. The thing is, it's as easy. I know what you're saying. It's a lot of games, small squad, but it is as easy as that for
it
to change.
It is, but then there's also, they might lose both of their games and lose to us.
Our next two games are massive.
Absolutely. That's the point I was coming to.
If we lose to both Burnley and Watford, we're well and truly in it, because that's 3 points that both of them are picking up and that we are not.
That's a 6-point swing, isn't it? Like, we don't get those. They're 3 points closer to us by beating us. So, I don't think we'll be in it. Look, I understand why people are talking about it. And to Ned's point about the players, yeah, that's you know, none of them have been in a relegation, apart from, like, you've got Wilf and Jimmy Mack and stuff, but, you know, your Mark Gage, Michael Elise, Ibrichiezis, Tyree Mitchells, you know, these, Joachim Anderson, these guys have never been in a relegation dogfight.
Anderson has, mate. He was at Fulham.
Oh, I was at Fulham, but yeah, but they were done. They would have been, they had no hope. But then I'll put it to you, and I know people can throw this about Patrick Vieira, but Frank Lampard has walked into a horrendous situation at Everton, and he hasn't got them playing. They had a bounce. Who did they beat? Leeds, who are not doing particularly well themselves, and they just got destroyed by Southampton. So
Southampton are playing very well, though.
Yeah, but I mean, if at the start of the season, if you looked at Everton's squad and the players they had,
how good would it be?
And it's Southampton. Yeah, I mean,
after all that, so all those times they just come in and try to, you know, poach our players because they think they're a bigger club. So just what if they went down? That'd be great.
Exactly. So
yeah, I'm not disagreeing with Rob. I just think it's funny how the human psyche of, like, oh, you know, like I said, the new toy, Big Pat, and exciting football. Yet 6 points behind, that just doesn't get talked about. Like, I don't disagree with you at all. It just, it's more reflection of just, yeah, oh, look, new shiny, and all of a sudden
I see forgotten. I see it, but then. And no, this is if buts and maybes, right? I get it, but no, Wilf doesn't slip away at Norwich. Then it's just four. You know, we beat. Norwich.
Keeper's going to save it. Keeper's gone the right way. Keeper saves it.
Okay. You know, Gay doesn't let the ball bounce against Brighton. You know, that's two. So, like, and we're playing better football, so we're kind of in the same level. Like, I get it. It happened. We haven't got those points, but, you know, when we beat Brighton away last year, it was stupid. That happen. We lose that game 99 times out of 100. How we won that 2-1 playing the way we did, do not know, for example. I mean, that's just one example.
I think for me, the concerning thing has got to be, right, obviously we've played everybody once already. And if we look at those teams below us, Brentford, we've not beaten them. Mm-hmm. Leeds, we lost to them. Everton, I can't even remember what we did with Everton.
We beat Everton.
Beat Everton. That's,
yeah, 3-1. We were Conor Gallagher scored in the 94th minute.
That's right. Okay.
25-yard screen.
Yeah. So that's one. Newcastle, brown, brown. Watford, scraped one. We won 2-0, 3-0. So I can't remember.
We haven't played them this season yet.
Oh, there you go. Haven't played them, right? Burnley, drew 3-3. Norwich got a win and a draw. And I just feel that it's just a concern that we are playing teams who are probably on the up themselves a little bit. Everyone's got a bit of fight.
Maybe.
And they're probably looking at us and going, or you're looking at us and Brentford and to a lesser extent Aston Villa, and are thinking
and Leeds. The four teams that were like, I'm picking up points. Us, I agree with Villa, Leeds, Brentford, and Everton. I'd say there's five of us that they're all probably looking at like they're not particularly good. We can probably pick something up off them. So look, difference is, and I agree with everything you're saying, is that Roy would have picked up two wins out of a lot of those games. But then we wouldn't have gone toe-to-toe with Chelsea like we did. We went toe-to-toe with them on Saturday and we got caught out in the 89th minute. We've been toe-to-toe with City and we won. We played Arsenal off the park at their place and drew.
Hey, Roy won at City. Roy's won at Chelsea.
Yeah. I disagree. It's just funny.
Mark's got a point.
I think the Roy ball against Chelsea, I don't think we lose that at all. If anything, we might even snuck it.
No, we don't. How many times did we see?
Sorry, Mark. Unfortunately, you're wrong. Bad luck.
No, but we don't beat Chelsea. We don't beat Chelsea playing Roy ball. On Saturday. How many times did we see last year? I think what was the stat before Saturday? The last four games we played against them, they'd scored at least three goals against us.
Yeah,
including one managed by Pat Vieira.
But in that first game of the season, give you that. We didn't have Anderson, Gallagher. We had that Mateta when he was poo up front.
Neither did Roy.
No. Mate, come on. Yeah,
we've done this discussion to death before, so we're going to ignore what Roy could have done. What Roy couldn't have done is irrelevant because he's not here. It doesn't matter.
I don't want to have that conversation. I'm just saying that I don't think we're in that scrap. I can see the progress that's being made on the pitch. I can see the players we're bringing in, how we're playing, and that is sustainable going forward. I mean, look at all the rumours already. We've bought Young to sell on for a massive profit at some point. And that will sustain the club and we will go buy Young again and bring it through. Look, Eze is already rumoured for 50 million to Newcastle, 45 million, whatever. Elise is going to go for silly money, upper money on it. Tyreek Mitchell might go for big money. Mark Gahey is going to go, if Harry Maguire's £80 million centre-half, Mark Gahey's double it. I know we're not going to get it, but performance-wise, he's that much better. So right there's probably £200 million worth of player we're going to sell at some point between those three.
You swig that water, mate. Whatever's in that water bottle,
You don't think we're going to get 50-odd million plus for those three?
No, I agree. I don't want to do this. I've been holding my tongue. I'm going to have to agree with points that Salt is making. I'll try and just distance myself as much from it as possible because I don't like this and it makes me feel very uncomfortable. But I think in terms of I don't necessarily agree that with, you know, the Roy approach was going to get us relegated, but it certainly had a ceiling. And I think in terms of what we're doing now gives us the potential to break that ceiling. But I definitely don't think it, I think it does, particularly in these first 2 years, make us much more vulnerable to that relegation. If we get through the next 2 years, then yes, what you're saying is definitely it is more sustainable, because if we get through those 2 years, particularly if one of them looking unlikely to be this year, but if we have an upturn of form, who knows? If one of those 2 years ends up being a much more successful year and we crack into that top 10, then yeah, as Rob's saying, those players that take us into that space, your Eze's, your Elise's, your Mitchell's, your Mark Gahey's and all that sort of player, we do end up selling for a lot of money if we can continue to pick up those players.
There you go. There's your issue.
And that's the big one.
There's your issue.
To be able to pick them up on a regular basis. And so far, Dougie has seemed like he is the kind of person who can pick the right signings. If he can continue doing that, and we can, and the other thing that we're going to get through from there is with the upgraded academy, we are now going to be able to develop and pick up the cream of the crop from South London, which is a massively big catchment area in terms of talent. So if we can get those players coming through, then yes, we can become one of those clubs that becomes a selling club, which sounds horrible, but it is the only way to sustain yourself until you get bought by oil baron squillionaires who come and win us the Premier League in 10 years' time. But you've got to be in the Premier League for them to do that.
Yep. Exactly. Unfortunately.
All right, good. Change of topic. We agreed, Rob. Stop it. Next. I don't like it.
Unfortunately, I have to agree with pretty much every word there. That is.
Fuck.
Exactly.
Go. Next. Next.
All right. Let's talk about the FA Cup. Stoke. Are we in the quarters? Is it the quarters we're in? Or is it the
fifth round?
Okay. So we've got Stoke. Now, comparisons have been made to one Sir Alan Pardew when he had awful league form. We didn't win a league, but we won in the cup run. So I'll start with Marky Mark here then. Do you see those comparisons? Are you wanting the cup run? Are you wanting us to just be at the cup to concentrate on the league and make sure we don't go down? How do you feel about the cup run?
It's a welcome shot in the arm given our league results, not performances. I think our performances have been pretty good, which is probably what has made our result harder to take. Last minute gear, missing out on wins or even draws. So the cup is welcome relief. Obviously, if you're in it, you're winning, which is good. I won't say we've faced any might in the cup as yet. It's been good though. Probably worth mentioning. Having Hartlepool at Selhurst Park. And it was great of the club to and Steve to offer them. Comp the coaches and stuff and then chip in for their manager's wife charity. Very good glowing endorsements from the travelling fans. So that was a nice bit of warm and fuzzy along the way and us to, show what sort of club we are and what we're about. And it would have been a fantastic day for all supporters, in the boozers with both sets of supporters. I'm sure everyone had a fantastic day. I don't think we're going to win it. It's nice to have a bit of a run. I think we could probably account for Stoke, who get up to that. Who knows? There's certainly a mirror or at least a decent reference to, Pards and having the cup run we did, arguably our league form was a lot worse under him, but we're going gangbusters in the cup, so everyone kind of turned a bit of a blind eye to that. Also weren't really looking down the barrel of relegation. So, yeah, look, I mean, it'd be nice to go well in it. And, should we make the final? I'll be scampering for a ticket and sussing out airfares and how to get in and out of the country in these heady COVID times. But, it's nice, something to jump up and down about if we're doing well. And, hopefully it's not cold and wet and not on a Wednesday night.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
What about you, Dale? You loving it?
Yeah.
Sounds like you are.
No, look, it's one of those things. In the moment, it's good, right? In the moment, it is good. It's the eternal quandary I always come back to when you live in Australia, right? Would I rather we go on a decent cup run and, we haven't won the cup yet, so I can't say and win it. The evidence says we won't win it. Or would I rather we get transfer the wins we've had so far into the league to guarantee we're in the Premier League, which means I can watch every game the following season?
Most of the championships are available over here now, Dale. Don't stress.
Oh, excellent. Even better. Look, it is good. It's good for the fans. It's good to get out there. It's good to have. And sometimes it can be a nice distraction from your league form. Then, however, comes the if you win it scenario, where you have this Thursday, Sunday nonsense, which I don't understand the thing. I don't understand it. But, then there's another competition that you're having to worry about. And again, priorities then change and focuses then change. And does your eye come off the ball? I don't know. The bottom line is it's a nice to have. If we get to the final, we get to the final. It was a good day out, a good evening out when we were last in the final against United. But in the back of my head, I always think to myself, those wins would be nice in the league. But anyway, I'd rather lose to Stoke than have lost to Millwall. So there you go.
Glowing endorsement of the FA Cup from Dale Quarty there.
Can I just say, Dale?
Magic's alive.
Can I just say, Dale, so you're stressed out about us, you know, you'd rather we get all those wins in the league so that we can avoid the European competition that comes with the FA Cup. Do you know what happens if you win too many games?
No, mate. So far, it's only two games. It's only another 6 points. I don't want us to go too far in the Cup because then I'll be lamenting all the points we could have got and that would have put us into Europe. Then I'll be completely confused.
Well, okay. I mean, here's... You got the majority of fans going, gee, wouldn't it be good to see Palace lift some sort of silverware and play in Europe?
They've got knives and forks, mate. That'll do.
Oh, mate. You know
you're for the win.
Just to run everyone through Dale's mindset, hates Wilf Zaha, arguably our best player of all time.
Doesn't want us to
win anything. Doesn't want us to finish too far up the league. That's, you know, Palace tragic, Dale Quarty, ladies and gentlemen.
Mediocre Dale. No, look, I think I do everyone a bit of this. As I said, it is, cup runs are good. A day out, I'm sure, is great if you get to go. I just would hate it to be at the expense of, and then if you get there and you lose and the rest of the season goes to pot, you're like, oh, fuck, what was that for? Like, you know, so anyway, I just want to, if we're going to win, just win everything. Just do a Man City and win everything.
Why not?
Yeah, fair enough.
Well, we beat them, so we're pretty good.
We've got them in a couple of weeks, so there's another win for you.
Done.
I think with the cup, I think it was both Mark and I in our pre-season predictions both said that was at least a semi-final, something like that. Mark, we were
on or around there. Yeah, absolutely.
We were very bold, and so far as always, it looks like we're bang on the money. The Exiled Eagles, which is pretty standard. I don't think we've ever been wrong. So
it's just nice not to lose a cup match in the first game we play, because usually we bloody, what was it, League Cup? We hadn't won a game in the League Cup for like 17 years or something. And the FA Cup, we did a slightly better record. But yeah, just nice to be still in it.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think, Ned, I had some sort of my ridiculous prediction of J. Rich Bagaloo coming on in sort of the 94th minute.
Yeah, That one's in trouble. That part.
Yeah, that's in a lot of trouble.
If we're talking predictions, I'm pretty sure mine was right, because I'm pretty sure I said we'd score a cup goal. So I'm taking that.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Yeah.
You know, I've got this stuff? I've got no idea what I said.
I mean, I'm just throwing out there.
I'll be honest, Dale. It shows usually at the end of the season you've got no idea of what you were saying.
Yeah, good. I'm not here to be right, mate. I'm just here.
I got nothing else to add other than we're going to win the cup. So, you know. Tony Popovich has already won the one over here, so Palace might as well win the one over there.
I think it's brilliant. We're not going down. Let's have a cut run out the Palace. All right, move on. So we have an African champion in our midst, and as he rightly said, we will have a Premier League champion with him next season, as he claimed on the video, if anyone's watched it. So AFCON was fantastic for Czech Kuyate, not so good for Wilf and Jordan Ayew. I would say doubly bad for Jordan Ayew. I'd say Jordan Ayew is probably one of the biggest losers out of AFCON because of Michael Olise's emergence in his position.
I'd say he's worse for Jeff Schlupp, mate. He didn't even get picked in that awful Ghana side, for crying out loud.
So he's a winner, wouldn't he? So he's a winner.
Oh, I'll be pretty embarrassed. Him and Salibu, the centre back.
But he got himself he cemented himself a starting 11 position.
Yeah, mate. But him and Salibu down in Southampton, centre back, how they don't get into that Ghana side is fucking beyond me. It's just,
I mean, we could talk. Corrupt. We can do the Ghana podcast later, Dale.
No, just on along the side, with
Mark and my parenting podcast. Just
that's it. With a side of Ghanaian football.
Mate, it's just made me think about something I heard Nadim Anuah say the other week, talking about got offered a chance to play for Nigeria, and it literally was you can play because this old mate over here knows who you are and likes you. He said no because he wanted to focus on his club career, and then when he went back and said, yeah, I'm good to go, they were like, nah, see you later. And it's just like, anyway, Africa, mate.
Hakim Ziyech, they've decided, the Moroccan coach is like, no, he's got a bad attitude.
Don't want him, mate.
To be honest, I don't care how bad his attitude is. If you got the chance to have Hakim Ziyech in your squad, take him.
First name on the team sheet. Anyway, I saw this. You don't want to know about this, Rob. Go on. What's the point?
To be honest, we have no idea. So I mean, apart from, have anyone else got any thoughts on AFCON? Any other winners or losers out of AFCON for Palace? I mean, as I said, my biggest winner is obviously Cech. Well done to him coming as a champion. But I think Jordan Ayew was so good for us before he left. But then Michael Olise was so good for us while he was gone.
So, the thing about AFCON that really pissed me off wasn't so much AFCON itself. It was the comments that were made by Vieira after AFCON about when players are coming back and then what they did. So if we think about it, Wilf got sent off against Tottenham, was it? And missed the Norwich game and then lost to AFCON, right? Ivory Coast did all right. And he comes back. And Vieira has said, you know, there's a lot of competition for places. Some people are going to have to play for their place. And Will straight back in the side. Now, fair enough. He is our GOAT. There's no denying that. He is our GOAT. But other players, like Jordan Ayew, who were playing out of their skin, which Wilf was not, were made to sit on the bench. Jordan Ayew was not gone for as long as Wilf. He was made to sit on the bench. And the reality was, I just felt we got that wrong. You know, Wilf was probably a winner because people were pissed off after that Tottenham game and the situation probably got diffused a little bit for how they felt because he disappeared off to Cameroon. I just felt when it came back, I would have rather would have seen Wilf on the bench, Olise and Ayew on the wings and away we go and then Wilf coming on. Because to me as well, that just sends a message. We played really well without Wilf. And as everyone said, the time where it was all the Wilf show is gone. It's not that anymore. Some of our best performances this season have been without him. And I think that would have just given a really strong message and a kick up the backside to everybody about what this team's now about. So that was just one of my thoughts coming out of AFCON.
I don't want to talk
about the rest of it because Ghana were awful.
I see what you're saying, but Wilf plays left. Both Olise and Ayew play right. So Ayew plays there to protect Ward and Olise plays there to come in on his left. So
he didn't need to play, right? I say this all the time. There's going to be a time when the guy's not there. We just had 4 weeks where the guy wasn't there. We didn't need to play. We could have figured it out another way. Because we had to anyway, didn't we? He was suspended for one game.
But I think the thing is, what you're saying there is we had to find a different way and we, you know, had to play it. But I don't think you just put him on the bench just for the sake of putting you on the bench. If you're Patrick Vieira and you think that your best 11 involves Wilfred Zaha and Wilfred Zaha is available, then Wilfred Zaha should be playing. If you don't think he's in your best 11, then fair enough. But
I don't think straight back off the bat he was in our best 11. I'm just saying. I know the narrative comes out. Dale hates Wilf. Blah blah blah.
Well, we know that, but
he wasn't. he wasn't. I don't think there have been times this season when he wouldn't have made our best 11. There are times when he has, and there are times when the stuff he does on the pitch, i.e., Norwich, the goal, superb. And there are other times you look at it and go, we would be better served without. And I know that's hindsight.
You're not going to know.
I'm just saying. But and sometimes managers take a punt.
But so was Will's first game back for us after Spurs Norwich, wasn't it? Because he went to AFCON.
He was in the second Norwich game.
Yeah, the second Norwich game.
Was that his first game back? I'm not sure.
Yeah, Miss Penn.
Mark, Miss Penn, don't worry about the goal. Miss Penn.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm still thinking about it. I've forgotten his goal. When he said one goal, I was like, did he score one goal, did he? I don't recall.
2 minutes before as well. It's just, what a way to get that forgotten.
But, yeah, totally. Absolutely incensed to run up for that. I know he slipped, but I'm like, it's fucking not high jump, mate. Just put the fucking ball in there. And anyway, whatever.
Mark's right. I was twitching and he was so annoyed. But the thing is, like, against Norwich, no one else in our team scores that. Coming in from the right like that, being a man and hitting the top corner. I mean, we've all said how good Jordan Ayew's been for what he's done.
Somebody else might have crossed the ball in from the left for someone else to score a header, which unfortunately we don't seem to get to see from Wilf anymore because he either loses the ball or falls over. Just saying.
Or scores.
Once. Anyway, that's my AFCON thing.
Anyone else want to talk about AFCON?
Yeah, the only bit I want to talk about is how good were the celebrations in Senegal with Kiate. The bit I love the most is, like, in the entirety of Senegal, are you telling me that there is not one open top bus? Not one. So they just got them all sat on the roof of a regular bus. I'm watching those celebrations going, we're not going to get Kiate back. He's going to fall off this bus and go straight.
Sounds
out.
Very African, not, like, to have an open top bus.
Just, it was just mental. Like, you're sitting there, like, the only way that they would have to get him up on a ladder beforehand. And then, yeah, it's just a case of you're on the bus and there's no chance of getting off it. Hope you don't need a bathroom break halfway through.
It is good for Cech as well, because obviously he's gone through a lot with Senegal. Like, he was captain. I'm not sure if he gave it up or if it was taken off him. And, you know, I think there was some times where he looked like he wasn't going to play anymore. And he had a stint where he was playing centre back. And so for him, I think it's just great, isn't it? And I will say, the Chelsea game, his first game back, I said it in the WhatsApp, he looked a different player. He is a man full of confidence, and it is really interesting to see what that win did for him and what it can potentially do for him for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I'll just chime in because I'm not saying anything about the AFCON yet. Yeah, good on him. I'm really happy for him. First time we've had a continental champion since Jedi. And
you had to crowbar that in, didn't you?
Yeah, seamless. So, yeah, I think it has bred a lot of confidence into him and just rap for the bloke. By all accounts, he's a good guy. Looked humble. I was stoked when they gave him sort of the guard of honour when he got back to training and the champions kit that Patrick had there for him. And, just really, really happy for the guy and rapped. For him, one of you blokes who knew a West Ham supporter said, you know, we're getting a pretty good egg when we got him across. So, just really stoked for the guy. And I would have thought that maybe Senegal could have leased Brighton's open top bus, their draw bus that they travel out every time they manage a draw. Could have leased that on short term.
Any other person who would have been happy as well, obviously, let's not forget Big Pat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All those caps for Senegal, up for France, born in Senegal. So let's not forget that as well.
Okay, I didn't seem aware of that, but yeah. It would be well stacked, mate. So good on.
It's good. Anyway, enough of Africa. I'm done with it.
Yeah, let's move it on. Let's move it on.
And the lack of open top buses.
Just a fun update from the two A-League games that I'm currently watching. Daniel Sturridge over here in Australia made his way onto the pitch finally at halftime of this one and has just promptly made his way off the pitch, having done a groin injury in the
So, but how's his hair look?
His hair was looking
pedestrian.
I was expecting better. So just thought everyone would like to know he's managed to get through 20 minutes. He lasted less time in an A-League game than this podcast. So...
Well, it's funny, sir.
Just thought that'd be a fun thing to share.
It came on with 20 to go against the mighty Brisbane Roar on the weekend gone, and I was going to put on the WhatsApp if Jordo drove out to Launceston to see him come on for the final 20 minutes. Did nothing, and will be doing nothing for a little bit longer. By sounds, Ned.
Yeah, he did nothing in this 20 minutes either.
Mm.
Actually, no, I take that back. He missed an absolute sitter.
Sign him up.
Anyway, that was Sturridge 5 minutes. Next, what's next on the agenda, Rob?
I suppose we can talk about kind of like a third of the season gone. We can either do it like kind of what's impressed us, what hasn't impressed us, or the good, the bad, and ugly now, or we can save that to the end of the season where we just do it as a roundup. What would you prefer, Fedders? Would you want to talk about it now, or should we just save it all? Do you want to save it all up for?
You're going to take something out of the run sheet. You could do it before we go on the air, mate.
I was just looking now. Jesus Christ.
we're nothing if not professional, though.
Hey, yeah, this is true.
No, I'm putting it to the message. If people have good talking points, let's do it.
Call off, everyone, if that's what you want us to do.
I've taken note, so I'm happy to trundle it out.
But hey, there you go.
If we keep a dial away from waste bars or a new upgraded equipment, then, you know.
Messina. No, let's go. Let's go with it. I'll put it in the run sheet. Let's do it.
No, Mikey Mark, you ready to go? So let's go good, bad, and ugly for the season so far.
We just do all goods each, or we do our three and then...
Let's go all three.
But no, all right, mate. So, good. Now, I started these notes at 7:22. We started potting at 7:30, so there's nothing too illustrious in here. But, yeah, new manager, Patrick Vieira, which was about our fourth choice. Alec got to the club, 10 odd days before the season started or something like that. And doing well, got the boys buying into to what he's all about and playing some, you know, a new brand of football, which probably wasn't hard under previous tutelage of Roy Hodgson. But I think that's been good and it's exciting and, you know, yeah, we're all a bit more excited, a lot more excited to watch Palace go around now, which has been great. And then, you know, Eze bedding in, more so introduction of Elise, who's really come on strong this season, you know, probably more so in about the last 6 weeks, which has been good. Yeah, our business this season, I think, has been great. Will Hughes, fantastic addition, getting a good run in midfield there, albeit because Macca had an injury, which wasn't great, but better for it, for getting minutes in the legs out there and is looking the goods for the future because, you know, it's J-Mac 34 odd now or something. Gallagher as well. I don't want to bang on about him too much because he's a loan deal, so we've talked enough about loving and losing and lost with him, but for a loan, doing great things there. So that's all been pretty good. Bad. Still no real threat up top for my money. We don't have a clinical finisher or striker or someone that gets one-on-one and you think, yep, this is going to the net, or even a penalty, you know. So that, even with, you know, Edouard, the promising to start off with, kind of tapered away a little bit. Obviously not blitzing Vieira because he's on the bench. Last time round, so we're still lacking there. Mateta's kind of coming good, but all of them running hot and cold. You know, when they're good, they're great, but otherwise, it's literally hit and miss there. So that's bad. And the ugly the treatment. Some of the things said about Joel Ward lately, just outlandish. Like, the word champion is bandied about far too much in today's society and social media and that sort of thing. Joel Ward wears that moniker with aplomb and he's an absolute stalwart, a legend of the game, your friend of mine, friend of the show as well. So for some of these fucking, I don't even want to repeat most of them because my head will explode. Stop it, everybody.
Stop it.
Yeah. So that's my ugly, obviously.
All right, well, let's go to Dale because he's his segment, as he said. So
my good is for the people of South London who braid hair or create cornrows and dreadlocks, because I mean between Eze, Wilf, Schlupp, Elise, I mean they're getting some business, mate. Schluppy, they're getting some business. So that's the good. The bad, on the same vein, boys, I mean, I've had that stuff done to my hair. It hurts. So, like, just fix up, look sharp, right? Don't worry about it. We love you anyway. And the ugly, I was going to go down the vein. I was actually going to say some of the comments, including myself, about Joel Ward, but Mark stole that one, so I won't be using that. So, who knows? I'm going to go with my ugly. I actually haven't got an ugly anymore, so don't worry about it. I've just got a good and a bad.
Well, thank you for putting that in, Dale. It was really worth it. Ned, over to you, mate.
Yeah, again, so, I mean, Mark is clearly putting the most effort of all of us. Yeah. With his 7 minutes, eclipsing the rest of us by around 8.5. the good, I think we'll have to go with, I think the way that... you know, the signings that we've had for the season, the way they've bedded in, having basically rebuilt a whole new team to be able to get them to go and completely sort of revolutionise the way that we've played football. and still managed to come out of it at the other end with you know, some similar results to what we were getting beforehand with a brand new a brand new group. So that's going to be my good. The bad has got to be, I think we'll go with just the number of points that we have thrown away in the last 5 minutes of games is soul crushing. If you're going to lose a game, just lose it properly, lose it early. Just don't sit there and have us going for 89 minutes going, we're a chance here. Oh,
it is absolutely dead set.
I think in the WhatsApp group, the Chelsea game, I actually predicted the exact minute of the
it's the hope that goal, kills you, fellas. The winning goal, which kills is you.
Quite depressing. So that's definitely going to be my bad. You have to reiterate what Mark says for a start. I mean, he's bang on the money with the Joel Ward comment. You say champion is the word. I think you've gone too light, Mark. I think you could go up from champion.
Legend.
I think you go legend, hero.
Hero, yeah. I was going to put hero. I don't want to come on off too strong.
Any of those would be appropriate for the little Aussie battler.
I'm assuming we are going to retire the number two shirt, aren't we?
It'd be rude if we kept it. I'll be honest. I didn't think of any ugly, so I just stole Mark's.
Fair enough.
Rob, you're
up. Awesome. I mean, I've given us a lot of thought, so... my good.
You've had three other people talking to think of one, mate. Come on.
Well, I'm going to go with very, something very similar that's been said, apart from Dale's one, which was about hair, and I don't have any, so I can't say much. Is just the way we're now playing football, the complete chalk and cheese to have that massive turnaround and have people excited to watch our Palace play.
Another dig at Roy.
Wasn't a dig. That's a good.
Mate, it's a very thinly veiled dig at Roy. We heard it.
I mean, I don't need to be...
Yeah, if you're going to have a dig at Roy, do it the same way that Dale does it with Wilf.
I was going to say, I'm not going to... If I want
to... thinly veiled rubbish, Rob, you just come straight out and say it.
If I want to dig at Roy, I'll tell him how rubbish his football was and bored me to tears and thank fuck he's gone and all that type of stuff. I'll happily say it. But this is a good...
I would love to see you face-to-face with Roy and just power into yourself.
I'll tell him how appreciative of the job he did at Crystal Palace Football Club.
Pleasure to meet you, Mr. Hodgson.
That's it. Doff my cap. Thank you very much for keeping my club.
Stop curtsying now, mate. Just fucking jog on.
Exactly. Bad, I'll kind of go with our set pieces. It was bad defensively. We seem to have sorted that out, but we just can't seem to score from corners. My God. I think it was 117 we've had. Scored two goals.
So get Pulis back. Get him in as a corner set piece specialist.
That's it. So I'll put them in my bad. And my ugly, I'm going to go with, along the similar veins of the right back, but I'm going to go with Nathan Ferguson, unfortunately injured again. Everyone was very excited for him to come back, you know, challenge the little our little Aussie battler, just prior to that competition. Horrible injury and now back out for another 6 weeks. So I'll put that as my ugly.
Do we think that Joel Ward is deliberately nobbling him?
Would he do that?
No, he'll get someone else to do it for him.
Yeah, potentially.
Absolutely.
He might pray that it happens.
Maybe it happens.
He's a bit of a god man, apparently. Who knows?
So as we come to him, we're going to link a couple of bits now. We can do some Aussie chat, but the whole pod has been irrelevant apart from this last little bit. Massive rumours that Crystal Palace Football Club will be playing a football match here in Australia 3 years after they said they will come. So. Dale, you're the one that's confirmed this is definitely happening. So I want to throw it to you straight away.
And you're sorting tickets for everyone, Dale.
Which is very, very, very
kind. And refunds of existing tickets.
We'll make sure on our Twitter account that all that ticket information is put there by Dale. So give us a follow at Exiled Eagles.
So appreciate that, Dale. So what have you heard, Dale? Tell us everything immediately now.
What have I heard? I've read the same thing everyone else has read in the paper that Man United and Palace are potentially playing over in Australia.
Well, it's not what you were saying off air, Dale. You confirmed it. You told us the venue and you named the starting lineups.
Yeah. I will be honest. I'll be going wherever the game is. I will be going. And I'm not sure who I'm going to direct my my love for at the most. So it will be Wilf or will it be that absolute prick Ronaldo? I think Wilf gets a pass. Ronaldo is going to get pelters from me. No, look, yeah, so look, it's happening. Apparently it's happening. We're in the talks. Everyone knows it by now. We're in talks. And apparently there might be a game in Singapore and then a game in Australia. The hot goss is Melbourne. But as I said, my mate who works at Sydney FC, they have been told that two Premier League teams will be playing a friendly in Sydney. They just haven't been told who. So without it being confirmed of being in Melbourne, you know, we can, sorry, Ned, I will cross my fingers that it's in Sydney, obviously. But if it's in Melbourne...
I'll be honest, Dale, I'll cross my fingers it's in Sydney too, because if Manchester United play Crystal Palace in Melbourne,
MCG,
they'll put it at the MCG, which is a very big stadium. It's fantastic for watching cricket. It's fantastic for watching AFL football. And it's god-awful watching proper football.
I was there for...
The atmosphere's crap.
Yeah.
I mean, as I say, it's a great stadium if you're playing a sport that requires an oval.
Yeah.
Anything else, it is awful. So
I was there for Liverpool victory all those years back. Terrible.
And it was an absolute circus.
Terrible. So fingers crossed.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's why I'm disappointed that I think the original tour would have been great, because you know we're not a big enough club that it's going to be a circus, but you know we were big enough that if we were playing a Brisbane Roar or a West Ham game, that it was going to be. The people there were going to be actual football fans. You're not going to have the
seat.
That's
my concern. It's
going to be shit. It'll be great to see Palace here, but give me the Queensland tour with the other two.
The only saving grace, I would say, is that if it's a United game in Asia, it's a complete circus. It's an absolute circus. A United game in Australia...
is also a circus.
It is, but it's less of a circus because you probably have a few more expats who know a bit about football. That's what I mean. It's just less of a circus.
I can't wait for Wilf Zaha versus Cristiano Ronaldo and who can kick an AFL football the longest competition. That should be
over the hour, mate. Yeah. Kick comp.
That's it.
See, I mean, I don't really want to play United out here just for simply the fact, too, that you guys just pointed out that if it's in Sydney, they'll probably put it at the other new SFS if it's finished.
Yeah. Won't be finished.
Okay, so it'll be Olympic Park. There's what's 80,000 that holds, and it'll be 77,000 people that haven't got a clue what they're doing. They just want to go see Man United. So I'd much rather.
Also, that is a shit area to go to. That Olympic Stadium.
God awful running out there.
Nothing out there.
Exactly.
The game will be shit at the MCG, but at least everything before and after will be great.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'd hope that if Palace came here, that they'd play one exhibition game in Singapore, then maybe play United or whoever here, and then maybe Sydney FC or one of the A-League teams. I mean, I'm voting for Central Coast Mariners at the Gosford Stadium. That would be good, wouldn't it?
That would be superb.
I'm not
taking the piss in any way, shape or form. That would be superb.
Absolutely.
Where's Carl Viet managing?
Adelaide. Hindmarsh down Adelaide's a nice stadium too.
Mate, I can see it. It'll be playing against Adelaide or Victory because of Popper.
Victory Park would be superb.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'd honestly much rather go to those games than seeing us play United.
Well, I can tell you firsthand exactly that circus when I went to the pre-season tournament up in Hong Kong, well, Liverpool, us, West Brom and Leicester played. And it was exactly that, though, what you just said, just pandemonium of 98%. Well, I'd say Liverpool supporters, people in Liverpool shirts, just screaming and just literally arms flailing and just to carry on, cheering just for every touch. It was it was good to see our boys go around, but it was pretty painful, and it would be much the same if United get trundled out here. It'll just be hysteria first, football second, unfortunately.
Yep. So if they do come, I'd really hope they play a local A-League side, and I'd rather go to that than I mean, I'd go to both games because you don't often see Palace, but I'd much prefer the A-League game than the United game.
Maybe play like a Brisbane Roar in Townsville.
Something like that.
That'd be awesome. Well, I mean,
someone should come up with an idea like that.
The initial tournament, or cup, whatever god awful name that it did have, was going to be perfect, you know, up in Townsville, Brisbane.
Was Gold it the Coast. Air Asia? Was it Air Asia Cup or something?
Something. It had about nine words in the title, yeah. But
it wasn't the catchiest title.
No, it wasn't. You can get it on a number plate, but it was going to be great. And then frigging COVID, man, just pulled the rug from under us. And
just to clarify as well, I don't know who's going to listen to this pod. I ain't sorting out tickets for any fucker.
That's a lie, and that'll be getting cut from the podcast. So don't stress, Dale. We've already said you will be. What I'm going to do, Dale, is I'm going to say Dale will be sorting tickets, and I'm going to find some audio of you agreeing to something, and I'm going to superimpose that straight in after the bit where I say Dale's going to be buying tickets, and then I'm going to give out your personal phone number. So
I'll have a Simpsons episode and just cut heaps of bits together. And if I don't want to, come to the
We've interviewed Salts on the pod before when he wasn't here. So,
I did get stitched in, didn't I?
Come on. Everyone at Dale Cordy, care of Exiled Eagles.
Yeah.
Help care of my ass.
Right. So hand over to the Aussies for any more Aussie stuff.
A few bits and bobs. I just want to chime in. I think it was a massive apologies to Ange Postecoglou. I think it was literally the night or the morning of our last pod, and I failed to mention that he'd won the Scottish League Cup with Celtic. So huge apologies there, Ange. Big fan of his. Managed the national team at a World Cup and got us our one and only Asian Cup. A couple of flags up here with the mighty Brisbane Roar as well. So apologies, Ange. It just I just forgot, mate. Ned Wager.
I mean, just on that, and then you know, I was gone and completely turned them around as well. But with a lot more success than Vieira's had at Palace. He's got them top of the league and absolutely gave Rangers a hammering the other day. And yep. It's all right. We're allowed to bang on about him because while everyone else was saying, who's this guy? We were saying we banged on about him on the Exiled Eagles for years. So stick that up, yeah, all the people that are listening and saying that, who is basically no one. So that's fine. We'll move on. a couple of things from an Aussie point of view. Firstly, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, Tony Popovich at Melbourne Victory. We were dead last year. He has come in, taken over, and the first piece of silverware of the year that was available, Popper has come in and just sneakily won that for us. So that was excellent to see him get a nice little trophy for us. Just as a bit of an update in the games that I'm watching at the moment, Jordan Mutch has just come on to join Adrian Mariappa on the pitch for MacArthur, which I'm sure everyone is riveted about. But they're 1-0 up, but out of play sent off. So that's very exciting news with 5 minutes to go. But the one thing I do want to have a bit of a chat about from an Australian perspective that I think is probably going to, you know, I think it has potential ramifications a bit wider than here. And I know you'll laugh at this when I say it. The A-League and the sort of Australian sort of media coverage in general, the sport has tended to be a bit of a guinea pig, or, you know, has sort of set a few trends. Globally, you know, we were one of those ones that sort of first used VAR and that sort of thing. Basically, they've started doing recently VAR delays over here, extending them artificially and throwing in random drinks breaks, basically, and interrupting the whole flow of the game so that they can chuck ads on TV. There's not quite enough people here who follow the local game to kick up a stink, but it is one of those things that, I mean, I was at a game on Saturday I thought was bad. We can then have a chat about the game that happened last night, which had some
annoying,
that Rob would probably appreciate. But it's just one of those things that they've just started going down that very slippery slope of actually adjusting the game for commercial, you know, to get ads in. I was watching the start of that Premier League documentary. It was on Amazon, sort of the rise of the Premier League again. Aussies involved, Rupert Murdoch, apologies to the rest of the world. But some of the stuff they're talking about in terms of the commercialization, and you just sort of see that just starting to look over here at just how far they can push those boundaries again.
Mate, I'll just say, as someone who moved over here, obviously, 13 and a half years ago, this is nothing new. So I remember watching anything on TV, on terrestrial TV, and I couldn't understand why every program in Australia appeared to have a break, come back, would run for 30 seconds, and then that's the end. So it's already happening, mate. It's already happened with TV shows. And the other thing I've always thought about Australia, they're really quick. Not really quick. They seem to follow America's patterns quite a lot. And we all know American sport is essentially made for TV.
Yeah.
And I can foresee it happening with your domestic competitions, not so much with like the Premier League. I don't think the Premier League would be able to.
Well, at the moment, it's not legal in the UK to show.
Yeah, exactly right. So your domestic leagues, yeah, it would be a fear. And
but I think you're going from here. Next World Cup's in the USA, which you've just mentioned.
Yeah.
You know, I think they tried to do it in '94 and sort of got knocked back. But I think, you know, we're starting to get to a point where it's a little bit.
The key to it all, well, you have to always remember, was what is your fan experience. And I'm talking as somebody who's done postgraduate study in sport management, whatever else. Yeah, I know it can start to sound wanky, but what is your fan experience? What is your participant experience? And if you're going to start having people sat in a stadium for an extra 25 minutes because you're crowbarring in another ad for Macca's, it becomes shit.
And that's what it was like. That's what it was like on Saturday night. Saturday night was the first game I've ever been to where I sort of went, hang on a minute, what's going on? Because over here, there's only one game played live on commercial TV. The rest of it's all on Paramount. So that the games on Paramount are fine because there's no ads there. But it was the first time I've sort of been to a game and you're sort of sitting there and the ball's out of play and the ref puts his hand up and blows his whistle and you're going, well, hang on a minute, why? What are we waiting for here? And there was we're playing Rob's Mob Central Coast. And so they've just signed a bloke called Jason Cummings, aka Cum Dog, who best known for scoring for Shrewsbury against Liverpool.
Was he the guy who does that? He's got the tattoo.
He's the guy who puts his hand over his face with the Joker tattoo, yeah. And he basically, came out in his post-match interview, funnily enough, very difficult to find anywhere online, and just absolutely blasted the host broadcaster, pretty much just saying, he asked, you know, the referee, what's the hold up? And he said, oh, I've been asked to hold for the commercial to finish. You were talking VAR delays of 3 minutes plus for just the most obvious decisions. I won't go into the game last night where they managed to do 3 minutes of VAR delay and then get it wrong. But just adding all these artificial breaks in, and as you say, Dale, it wasn't a good game, but we ended up winning with literally the last kick of the game. And it should have been one of those ones where you go home, you know, having forgotten the other 93 minutes. Ending up with the fact that you get that last minute instead of going home with that, you know, happiness of, oh yeah, we won. It was just, I don't even care. It was just, it basically ruined the game for me. And
see, yeah. I didn't know that happened because I went to my beloved Mariners early part of the season, and because it's a summer sport, they were taking, there was a few water breaks, but like it was, to be fair, it was 32 degrees. So
yeah, and so they've started inserting for more of those. There was one a couple of weeks ago, Sydney, where it was 19 and raining, and they had a water break in the middle of the half. And it was like, and even and this the Sydney coach Steve Corriker sort of came out and was like, "What is going on?" Yeah. Just because they're trying to shoehorn these natural breaks, natural in inverted commas breaks, in for ads. And it's just a very slippery slope. And as I say, Australia tends to be, in the A-League in particular, because we haven't got the quality of football, they try to just, you know, push themselves up in other ways. And it's just starting to go down a very, very slippery slope that hopefully is not what's going on. Dale's been very distracting.
Well, we're going to finish that Aussie chat and we're just going to give a very quick shout out to the best host we've ever had, Tony, and just say, yes, mate. Yes.
It's been noted. that's a worrying trend. Hopefully it's not. I just don't see how it'll catch on. I mean, because football, I mean, there's just not enough of those bricks. I know that in rugby league.
That's the thing, that's the issue, is there's no natural breaks.
Yeah, exactly.
We can manufacture them so that's my concern. It's the first time I've seen them manufactured. I've seen ads during games where you just miss stuff. I think the Olympics at 1 year, I remember watching.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Argentina won a game 1-0, Messi scored, and they cut to an ad and missed the only goal of the game. But which is hilarious, but also, you know, you can sort of sit there and go, that's one thing, but to actually stop the game, that's a bridge too far.
Exactly. I know on a very separate thing that they, for the NRL, they had to go to the bunker a certain amount of times, and it was because KFC had...
Same man, yeah.
I think, yeah, and it got released and it got found out, and they canned it because too many people threw their hands up like, this is not on. Because they're going for like every single, like even the most blatant try, they're like, right, we've got to go to the bunker. And everyone's like, why are you going to go to the bunker? Because they've got to get the KFC thing up there. So it's been tried. They've tried to do it.
I'll tell you what, we've got a VAR. We've got a VAR call right now in the A-League.
I'll tell you what the VAR says. It says, I need to go and eat my Messina. So come on, let's wrap up.
While you wrap up, I'll tell you how long this ad break. When we finished, I'll tell you if the VAR is still going. As you were, keep going.
It will be.
Yeah. Well, so with Dale wrapping it up with his Messina chat, let's knock that one ahead. So it just leaves me to say thank you very much to Ned, Mark, and Dale. We're all up. Even I'm going to be watching it live tomorrow. The alarm is set for 6:20 in the morning.
What time's kick off?
6:30.
5:30 for me, boys. Early start.
Yeah, it's an early start. Awesome. But so we're watching it live. So, quickly, before we go, Dale.
Predictions.
Just a scoreline. Don't care. Just a scoreline. What's the score tomorrow, Ryan?
1-1.
1-1. Marky Mark.
Oh, Dale's nick mine. I'll say 2-1 then. Palace.
2-1 Palace. Ned.
That's very optimistic for both of you. It's 0-0.
I'm saying 2-0 Palace. Back. There you go.
There you go.
All right. Thank you very much to you all. I look forward to doing this again for our end of season wrap up, because that's probably the next time we'll probably be able to do this. So, in the meantime, up the Palace.
So, as discussed earlier, Dale, you said you were going to be able to sort out tickets for this Australian tour. Which games were you able to get tickets for, did you think?
There might be a game in Singapore and then a game in Melbourne.
And you're definitely all good to sort out tickets for pretty much anyone who wants them, yeah?
Yeah. I think I said it on the WhatsApp. January?
Yeah, no, you definitely did. I was just making sure that was still all good with you. You also said something about the fact that, you know, you were, I mean, real generous. You were happy to cover some of the costs. Like, how much were you, like, a face value of the ticket were you expecting people to pay?
I'm happy with 5%.
That is generous. Thanks, Dale. Heaps. Anyone who wants to get those tickets, you can just give Dale a call. It's 0404...